ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Now, when we don't listen to the Lord as Christians, the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to have to inflict a little pain like a bridle does on a horse, to get them to move in the right direction. I don't want to do that, the Lord says, but sometimes I'm going to have to because you're not listening to me. You're not looking at me, and I can't direct you then unless I inflict a little pain. I remember when my grandkids were growing up and my son Tony, you know, he was in the military, so he's pretty strict. And what he would tell his kids, because they get distracted really easy when he's trying to talk with them, look at me. Look at me. I thought that was awesome because that's what the Lord's saying, right? Look at me. Look at what I'm saying to you through my word. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is showing you because God knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And he is leading us as he molds and shapes us into the men and women he wants us to be. So, are we going to be a giraffe doing our own thing, or are we going to be sheep that are guided by our shepherd, Jesus Christ? And here's the thing, the choice is ours. But you know what? I'm going to follow the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, again, shows us this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is our shepherd. We need to follow him. Sheep get lost really easy. They start wandering off and other sheep follow the one who's going nowhere. Sometimes they fall on their side and they can't get up and their bellies start to swell and they'll die unless the shepherd comes and lifts them up. Here's the thing. If you want direction and correct direction, you need to go to the Lord. If you don't, then do whatever you want. But again, there'll be confusion and misdirection, and it's not going to be good. You know, a lot of people have this mentality, Christians and non-Christians, follow your own heart, or let your heart be your guide. That's not what God says. He said, let me be your guide. I'll give you a few examples to show you that it's not right to do what you think is right in your own eyes. It seemed right to the eyes of Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. God said it was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of the sons of Jacob to sell Joseph into slavery. God said it was wrong. It seemed right in the eyes of Nadab and Abihu to offer strange fire before the Lord. And God said that was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of King David to commit adultery with Bathsheba and cover it with murder. And God said it was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of Judas to betray Jesus, and God said it was wrong. You see, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I don't care how smart we may think we are, how wise we think we are, when man follows his own instincts, it leads to ruin. We need to follow God's way, not our own. I mean, all you have to do is read the book of Revelation and see how men are going to follow their own heart's desire, do their own thing, thinking that they are going to be able to fight against God and win. How does that turn out for them? Oh, it doesn't. Not good. They are eternally separated from God. That's an important lesson for us to understand. See, the problem in Judges, problem in our nation, the problem in the church, In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And out of that, we're going to look at another person that comes into the picture here. A religious man, you might say, and the focus here is a wandering heart. Look at Judges chapter 17, verse 7. We're told, "Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, and he was sojourning there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to sojourn wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he journeyed." Wow, what a lucky break that is, huh? Well, not exactly. In fact, in Judges 18:30, we're told that this Levite's name was Jonathan. And Jonathan should have been in one of the 48 Levitical cities set up for them to minister throughout the land of Israel. But he was in Bethlehem instead. And he's having a hard time finding work. I don't, maybe people weren't providing for him like they should. And so he goes looking for work now. And he's wandering through the land. And he's wandering wherever his heart's going to lead him. You never read that he's seeking direction from the Lord. He's just looking for a place where he can make it, not necessarily where God wanted him to be. So here is this man of God, someone who's supposed to be leading the people of God, and he doesn't know where he's going. That's bad. He's wandering about looking for some place where he can make it, like I said. Now, let's bring this to the application for us. Because I believe this is so, so important. If we miss this like this Levite, we're just going to be wandering about, trying to find a place to fit in. Again, not necessarily where God wants us to be. God has given us a lot in life. A place to live, you might say. And it's when we're disappointed in what we have, when we're not satisfied with what we have, that we go out looking for other places to live, to try and get another lot in life, you might say. And that can be where you physically live, or the person you're living with, you're not satisfied with anymore, or the job you have, and the list can go on, but you get the idea. We need to be satisfied where God has planted us, and when we are where God wants us to be, that's where we grow. Now, I'm not saying God never moves us, but we have to be sensitive to his leading and not let our heart do something we're not supposed to be doing. Again, the example is my son who is moving to Colorado, of all places. I mean, it's beautiful out there. But it's so far away. It's not a two-hour drive anymore to go see him and my daughter-in-law and grandkids. But I truly believe God is leading him there. And I think he's leading him there for a reason. And I could be wrong, but I think the reason is that I have a nephew who doesn't know the Lord. And him and Tony get along great. And I think he's going out there to share the love of Christ with my nephew. How awesome. We'll see. Does God move us? Yeah, he does. But many times we move because we're dissatisfied. And that's a dangerous thing. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." I don't think this Levite was satisfied because he didn't fear the Lord. He didn't experience that abundant life that God could give him. I'm not saying, you know, it was easy for him or everything was perfect. Obviously, it wasn't. And that's true in our own lives. But satisfaction in the Lord and the fear of the Lord leads to life. And if we don't fear the Lord, if we don't obey the Lord, what ends up happening is we're running to and fro after the satisfaction, and it's not going to be good because you will never find that satisfaction you're looking for, and you'll always be running. See, the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom, but it's the source of true and lasting satisfaction. Having a relationship with Christ leads to eternal life, and as you continue to see all that he's done and all we have in him, there's contentment. Thank you, Lord. I mean, really, if we evaluated our lives and looked at how God has blessed us, I'm not saying we haven't been through difficult times or we're not going through difficult times right now. But I'm saying God has blessed us so much. And if all he's ever given us is eternal life with him, Do we need anything else? I don't think so. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Yeah. You know, apart from following the Lord, you end up having a wandering heart, like this Levite did. And it's not going to end well, as we're going to see. He's going to move farther and farther away from God and from being a representative of God. And he's going to move others away from God as well. So as this Levite is traveling, we're told that he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And it brings us to the next point, a deal he couldn't refuse. Look at Judges 17, verses 9 and 10 here. "And Micah said to him, 'Where do you come from?' So he said to him, 'I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to sojourn.' Micah said to him, 'Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance.' So the Levite went in." I don't know if any of you saw the first Godfather movie. I saw it as a kid. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, the people, it was family movie night, so being Italian. But remember Marlon Brando? He's speaking to a guy who's down, you know, he wants to be involved with Hollywood, and Hollywood's not offering him anything. And Marlon Brando, the Godfather, says to him, "I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse." That's what this man is doing here. Micah is making Jonathan, this Levite, a deal he couldn't refuse. What do I mean? Well, he's going to pay this Levite, Jonathan, give him a place to stay if he would be a priest. Not only that, he'd give him some, I guess, cool clothes to wear. It was a deal he couldn't refuse. And yet, it was not the deal that God wanted him to make. And Jonathan grabs this offer. But Jonathan is a hireling, selling himself out for money. Yeah, there was comfort, security in the house of this idolater. And Jonathan's just going to add to that. You know, don't sell yourself out to the enemy doing things you shouldn't be doing, because it's going to be easier or provide for you what you'll need. Do what God has called you to do. You know, I shared this with you before, but it's important for us to understand that we need to follow God's direction no matter how difficult it may be. And for Jonathan, being a priest or a pastor, that's a calling. You know, again, when I first came up here, it was right after their pastor of Calvary Chapel of Manitowoc had to step down. And it was probably several months down the road, because I believe it was at Christmas time he stepped down. And I came up to be the pastor. And, you know, there was a lot of emotional things going on that I didn't even realize at that time. And people were wondering, I wonder how long this guy is going to stay. How long am I going to be here? It was one of the questions that I was asked. And I didn't, again, know all the hurt that was going on, but I truly believe the Lord gave me the answer, and it's what I felt in my own heart, it's what I believe, is that I'm here. God has called me to be the pastor. You've all agreed with that. And I'm here. The problem is, and this is my personal feeling, but I don't know. I think the Bible substantiates this. When you're called to shepherd the people of God, as a shepherd, do you go around looking for other sheep that you can go over, that maybe they're, you know, better sheep, more prosperous sheep, you won't have to work outside the church to provide? Do you go looking for a better place where you can get more money, or do you shepherd the people that God has entrusted to you in the first place? See, I personally, and this is my issue, I have a problem with pastors that go from one church to another church to another church. Because then you're really not a shepherd, you're a hireling. You're moving all over the place. Does God move some? I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I'm glad my shepherd doesn't move all over the place. He takes care of his sheep. Praise God for that. And that's the way I feel. I'm not looking for a deal I can't refuse. Not at all. This Levite is nothing more than a hireling, hired by Micah. How do I know that he's a hireling? Because when he gets a better offer in chapter 18, he's going to take it. He doesn't care about Micah. He cares about himself. In fact, a hireling, according to Noah Webster's dictionary, is one who is hired or who serves for wages, employed for money, or other compensation. Now, some would say, hey, Pastor Joe, isn't that what you do? Look, I don't work for money. I serve the Lord. And a worker, yes, is worthy of his wages. But when wages become the priority, then you have a hireling, and he's going to do whatever he has to do so he can get paid. And what happens is then he even will compromise what he believes to tickle the people's ears and keep the money coming in. In John chapter 10, Jesus shows us what a true shepherd is about and what a hireling is about. In verses 11 through 13, this is what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So we see, first of all, that the good shepherd is concerned for his sheep. He's willing to die for his sheep. He loves his sheep. He unites his sheep. And Jesus compares the true shepherd to the false shepherds or the hirelings, a hired man. And one of the ways you can tell a false shepherd is that he takes from others instead of giving his life for the sheep. I mean, think about it. Jesus, being God, could have taken anything he wanted, but instead, he gave his life so that we can have abundant life in him. False shepherds steal life away. They destroy life. And when it comes to false teaching, they're not going to want to deal with it. Why? Because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to tip the boat over. They don't want to cause any trouble. They don't want to make people angry at them. And so they ignore it. Paul said to Timothy, a young pastor, probably in his 30s, in 1 Timothy 5:20, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Isn't that interesting? Rebuke them when? In front of everyone in the church. Let them know this is a false teacher. Today, oh, that is so unloving. How could you do that? Because I care more about the sheep than I do about the false teacher, the wolf in sheep's clothing. That's the reason. Spurgeon said this over 125 years ago, and people have ignored what he said. He said, how many there are of whom we have reason to fear that they must be hirelings, because when they see false doctrine and error abroad, they do not oppose it. They are willing to put up with anything for the sake of peace and quietness. Isn't that interesting? He's not coming against necessarily the false teachers at that point. Well, who's he coming against? He's coming against those leaders within the church that aren't opposing the false teachers. That's dangerous. What a warning. You see, the word pastor translates from the same Greek word as shepherd. And there's only one good shepherd, one true shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. But as a pastor, in a sense, I'm an under-shepherd. I work under the Lord, and I serve the people here. Now, it's not just because I could teach the Word of God. That doesn't make me a pastor. It's not a position. It's really a calling by God. And as a pastor, is the person willing to display the characteristics of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, towards their flock? Again, no one's perfect at that, but that should be our desire. My wife's prayer and my prayer when I first came up here 25 years ago is that the sheep here at Calvary Chapel would hear my voice as I represent to them Jesus Christ, and that they would grow in the knowledge, grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, my heart's desire is just to sacrifice for the people that God has entrusted to me, just like you sacrifice for your families, for the people here, in the ministries that you're involved in, the things that you do. We all sacrifice to the Lord. And for the hireling, when things get tough, when things are better someplace else and he gets an offer that he can't refuse, he's gone. Does he really care for the sheep? No. It's all about themselves. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings," says the Lord. Wow, how important that is, right? That we take care of the body of Christ. Pastors, that's their job. And can you imagine, you know, again, I worked as a critical care nurse for a long time, and one of the things that I knew was that if I showed fear in my face to my patients, they knew it. And so something was going on in the room and I'd have to go in there and they go, "What's wrong?" "Nothing. In fact, don't crank your head. Look at that monitor. You're just going to get a stiff neck. I got it. There's no problem here." And it would calm them down. There was another nurse who would go in the room, frantic. And you could just see the anxiety of the patient growing because she was anxious. As a pastor, you got to be in control because he's in control. You can't be going nuts. "Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my, oh no." Oh. Trust in the Lord because everyone is looking to you to see where you're going. People wonder, why I didn't speak more about the coronavirus or the elections or this or that? Because I'd rather speak about Jesus Christ. Sorry. Because you know what? This will go and something else will come down the pike. And that will go and something else will come down the pike. And it'll keep coming until the Lord returns. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn about prophecy. We should. We shouldn't look at the things that are happening in this world. It's important. But are we so consumed with it that we don't have time for the Lord? Something we have to evaluate in our own lives. For me, I'm sorry, I am not going to spend a study talking about something that, in the end, the Lord is not nervous about. So I'm going to share Jesus. I'm going to share his word because you know what? God's word is living and powerful. It's able to transform our lives. It's like a surgical instrument that cuts away areas in our life that need to be removed, exposed, so we become more sensitive to the Lord. See, that's the heart of a shepherd, caring for the sheep. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So we've seen that the shepherd has so much concern for his sheep, he's willing to die for his sheep. And not only that, he has a love for his sheep. But I don't think that's what Jonathan had for Micah. Not at all. But Micah wants his own personal priest who would legitimize, remember the shrine he had made of the carved image and all. And here's the thing. I don't care who it is. Man cannot legitimize anything we do. Only God can. And if we're serving him, walking as he's called us to walk, that's all we need to encourage us to continue on. We don't need a man to legitimize the work. You know, people wonder, how do you raise up leaders within the church? I don't. I don't raise up leaders. God does. I just watch people. And when I see what God's doing in the lives of people, I talk with them. I see where they're involved in ministry. And I see that they don't even need a title to serve. When people need titles to serve, it's just going to be a disaster because they always want the recognition. We're bond slaves of Jesus Christ. We're slaves of Jesus Christ. freely. So you don't need a title, you just serve. So I let God do the raising up, and I just watch what God is doing in people's lives. But for Micah, Morgan said Micah was attempting to maintain his relationship with God by violating the commands of God. The Levite degenerated into an attempt to secure his own material comfort by compromise. That's exactly what he's doing. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get some clothes. I'm going to get fed. I've got all these things coming in. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.